Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Here's what it says. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, let me just give you a little background as to what was going on in the nation of Israel when Habakkuk was written. The nation of Israel was in the middle of a time of suffering. It really wasn't the result of a sin. It really wasn't a result of them turning away from God, although they did that many times in this particular point in history. But God had just brought some troubles upon his people, and they were sort of under it. I mean, you know how you feel sometimes, you get into periods of your life where, and they can last for a day, they can last for more than a day. It just seems like when you get up, everything goes wrong. It just seems like you have to struggle to get anything done. It seems like you just have to work harder to accomplish anything that you set out to do. Even the stuff that has been easy in the past, there are times in our life where it just seems that you know, we have to work harder just to do the stuff that used to be easy in our life. And so that was going on when the book of Habakkuk was written. The people of God were just suffering. They were under it, so to speak. They were having to work hard to accomplish anything that they got. And so here's the prophet, and God's given him this message. He said, I'm going to give you this vision. I want you to write it down. And in verse 3, it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. In other words, this suffering is going to continue for a while. But at the end, it shall speak. And what the prophet was saying is, or what God was saying through the prophet is, yeah, it's going to continue, but it's going to end. Just, it will end. Don't give up. Don't quit. Just hang in there, because it will end. And not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. And what the prophet was saying is, now look, I know you're under this time of suffering. I know that you're going through it, but I just want you to hang on. I just want you to wait, because it's going to end, and it will end. And wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So here's the nation of Israel. Again, they're just oppressed, not by any people, but by God. Here's a nation of Israel. They're just suffering. I mean, they're just going through a period in their life where nothing seems to work, nothing seems to go right, everything seems to go wrong. Whatever they accomplish, they got to work hard at it. And even when they work hard, sometimes it doesn't work, and they just got to keep at it and keep at it. And so here's the prophet, and he comes with a message from God and said, now look, there's an appointed end to this suffering. God already knows when it is. He's not going to tell us when it is, but God's already got it marked down on his calendar in the mind of God that this suffering is going to end. And it will end at that time. When God says it will end, you can believe what, and this is what the prophet said to the people, you can believe it's going to end at that time. And so he says, just wait for it. Don't try to get into God's business. Don't try to get over there and be God. You know, so many times when God doesn't work with the speed that we think he should work, we want to get in and get our hands into God's business. And there's too many McDonald's. There's too many instant fast food places. We go up, and I don't know if you're like me. I'll just say that when I go to McDonald's and I order something, and I'm in my car and I'm in a hurry, and they say, would you mind pulling up and waiting a few minutes? I always want to say, yes, I do mind. I came to this place because I wanted something fast. I don't want to pull up and wait. Give me my food. And we become so much like that in our Christian life that when we pray and say, God, I'm suffering. Nothing seems to go right. Everything seems to be going wrong. I'm having to struggle to get anything done. And we say, God, can you just end it? And when God doesn't, we want to be God. We want to get into his business. We want to take care of it ourselves. And what the prophet was saying, don't just wait for it. Don't be God. Just wait. He's already got a time that it will end, that it will end at that time. Just wait for it and be patient, and the suffering will end. Now, again, Job is a perfect example. In the book of Job, all the suffering that Job went through, the loss of his wealth, the loss of his children, the loss of his health, the loss of the respect from his friends, it wasn't as a result of any sin that Job committed. I mean, you know the story as well as I do. God was putting him under a test, putting him to a time of testing, a time of suffering, to see if he would just trust God, if he would just wait on God. And when that suffering started, God already had a time that it would end. He had a time that he was going to restore to Job his wealth. He had a time he was going to restore his health. He was going to give him 10 more children. He lost 10. He was going to give him 10 more. And God already had a time appointed that suffering was going to end. And he just wanted Job to wait. He just wanted Job to be patient. He just wanted Job to endure. All right, if you still have your Bibles open, turn back to Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 25, this is where we read from a moment ago. But I want to read it again. I want you to follow along in your Bibles if you have your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9. All right, here's what it says there. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now, the book of Isaiah was written at a time when, this particular chapter, when the people of God were about to go into battle. Nebuchadnezzar was coming. He was eventually going to destroy Jerusalem. He was going to tear down the temple. He was going to tear down the walls of Jerusalem. He was going to carry a bunch of people captive, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Babylonian names, but they were going to be carried along with hundreds of other Jews back to Babylon. And the book of Isaiah was written before all that happened. They were just about to get into the fight. They were just about to get into the battle. They were just about to start the process of losing the war to Nebuchadnezzar. And here's the message that came, again, from God through a prophet. He said, now listen, you're going to go into this battle. You're going to lose. You're going to be an oppressed people. You're going to be a beaten people. And it's because of their sin, but you're going to lose this battle. Now, you're going to go captive. And here's what God says. He didn't say it here, but he said it in another place. He says, I've already set the time when that's going to end. You're going to be captive for 70 years. And after those 70 years, I'm going to raise you back up as a people, and I'm going to bring you back to Jerusalem. You're going to rebuild the temple, and you're going to rebuild the walls, and you're going to be a nation again. So, in this time of battle, in this time that they were fighting, here's what God says. I've already appointed a time that this will end. And it will end at that time. Don't try to take things into your own hands. Don't be God. Just wait patiently for him. I think one of the greatest examples of this is Joseph. You think about, he wasn't fighting a battle like a war, but when he was fighting battle after battle after battle. He got sold into slavery by his brothers. He did well in Potiphar's house, but Potiphar's wife lied about him and he got thrown into jail. He did well in jail and was put in charge of the jail and told what the meaning of a couple of dreams, and the meanings came true. And he told the butler, he said, "Don't forget me. I was sold into slavery. I'm in jail here by nothing that I did wrong. Would when you get back into your position with Pharaoh, would you remember me?" And Joseph could have done a lot of different. I mean, when he was in Potiphar's house, he could have run away. When he was in the prison, he could have run away. I mean, he was the second in command. He could have devised an escape plan. But what God told Joseph is the same thing that he told the nation of Israel here in the book of Isaiah. Look, I have a time that this is going to end. Don't take things into your own hands. Don't get into my business, God says. Just patiently wait, and I will work out what I'm trying to work out. And you remember in Joseph's life, he figured out what God was doing. I mean, he told his brothers, hey, you sold me, but it was really God that brought me here to save your lives. Because this famine's going to last another 5 years. He was into it 2 years. So, and again, I'm not to my message yet, so bear with, I'm just laying the foundation of my message. And don't worry, I know what time it is. And I can see the clock. So here's a time of suffering. A time of suffering where God says, I've got an end already appointed. It will end at that time. Don't play God. Just wait. Here's a time of battle. A time that we fight. That time of nation of Israel was going into a battle. And God, through the prophet, said the same thing. I've already appointed an end. It will end at that time. Just endure. Don't play God. Don't take things into your own hands. Don't get into my business. Just patiently wait. Now, one more. Turn to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 7. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. The sixth of the minor prophets. Isaiah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Down in verse 7. Here's what the Bible says. I'm going to read through verse 10. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is my enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? My eyes shall behold her, now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. So, here was the nation of Israel. They were being punished for their sin. God had given their enemies a sway over them as a nation. And in the midst of that defeat, in the midst of that punishment, here's the message that came from God through his prophet. He said, look, I've got an end appointed. This will end. I've got already a time appointed. It will end at that time. Now, don't play God. Don't get into my business. Just let me be God, and you just wait patiently for that end to come. So again, three situations. A time of suffering, a time of battle, a time of punishment. And the advice that comes from God through three different prophets is this. I've already got an end appointed. It will end at that time. Now stay out of my business. Don't get to be playing God. And just wait patiently for me to work out what I'm trying to work out. Now again, I think a good example of this is David when he sinned by committing adultery and committing murder. And God says, David, you're gonna pay a price. And he paid a price when the little baby that he bore with Bathsheba died. He paid a price when his son Amnon raped his half-sister. He paid a price Absalom killed Amnon. He paid a price when Absalom, after he'd come back from his self-imposed exile, came back and raised a rebellion against the king, and David had to flee Jerusalem. And God said, now David, you're paying this price because you sinned. You're paying this price. You were the king. I would have given anything you wanted. And yet you committed adultery. You took another man's wife. You committed murder to try to cover it up. And you're going to have to pay the price. But David, I've already got an end appointed. And it, your punishment will end. Just take your punishment like a man. Don't get into God's business. Because it will end. Just wait patiently. Now, some of you tonight, along with myself, we can identify with one of these situations. Maybe we're in a time of suffering. Maybe we're in a time of battle. Maybe we're in a time where God is chastising us for something. And there are things going on in a lot of people's lives. And the prophets, the three of them that we've read tonight, I think would come to us and say the same things. I think God would say the same thing to us. Look, I know what I'm doing. I've got a time appointed that this suffering or this battle that you're in or this punishment that you're in, it will end. And it will end at that time. Now, don't play God. Don't go changing the commandments. Don't go changing the rules. Don't try to justify doing something that God would not bless because you want to get out of this situation or out of this battle or out of this punishment. Just wait patiently for God to work out what He's trying to work out. Now, that's my introduction, okay? Good stuff in the introduction, but that's not my message. Here's my message. What do you do while you're waiting for God to do what He's doing? What do you do if you're in a battle and God says, hey, the battle's going to end. I've already got a time appointed. Don't play God. Just wait. What do you do? What do you do in a time of suffering where God says, hey, I know when it's going to end. It will end. Don't play God. Just wait patiently for me, and it will end. What do you do in a time where God chastises us for something? And who, by the way, that's one of the ways you know you're God's children is that He chastises you. Don't think, well, I must be a perfect Christian because God never chastises me. Well, no, I know I'm saved because when I get off the path, God whips me. I knew I wasn't. Nobody else whipped me but my dad. My brother tried, but he failed. But nobody else whipped me but my dad. I knew I was my dad's son because he whipped me. I knew he loved me because he whipped me. I know God loves me, and I know I belong to Him because He whipped me when I'm not going to go into detail, but I mean, there was three or four weeks ago, I had a thought that got stuck in my head. It was a wrong thought. I mean, it wasn't really anything wicked, but it was not the right kind of thought for me to have. And God said, you better get it out of your brain, bud. I said, no, I'm just going to keep it there for a while. Well, my plane was late. I ended up spending 4 hours in the middle of the night in Detroit. And I said about 2:00 in the morning, okay, you win. I don't like this getting spanked. And again, I'm not boasting about that. I'm just telling you, if God spanks you, it's just a sign that He loves you. So again, what do we do? I know what time it is, so don't start shaking your watches like that and looking at them. What do we do while we're waiting for God to do what He is doing? A lot of people, here's what we do. We sit back and say, well, when God gets done, I'll get up and get started. When this suffering ends, when He takes all this stuff away from me, when things start going good again, when I get back to the top of the mountain, when I get out of the valley, and when circumstances are more pleasing, then I'll start serving God. Or when this battle is won, when this fight is finished, I'll start serving God. Or when He gets through spanking me, when that time comes that my punishment is over, then I'll get back to serving God. And that's not the right attitude or the right answer to have. Here's what we need to do while we're waiting on God, or waiting for God, while we're waiting for God to finish what He's doing, we need to wait on God. While we're waiting for God to bring an end to the suffering, we need to wait on God. While we're waiting for God to bring an end to the battles, we need to wait on God. While we're waiting for God to bring an end to the punishment, we need to wait on God. You say, how can I wait on God? How can I wait on God? Just imagine with me for a minute. Just imagine with me if Jesus were to walk into our service tonight and he was to sit down and we finished up the service. There would be a line of people lined up in front of Jesus and said, hey, got any plans after church? We'll take in by a steak. Or we'll take in by a hamburger. I'd take him to White Castle because I know he'd like White Castle. But I'm just teasing. But my point is, if Jesus were to come in, we'd be lined up. And we'd say, hey, would you come over to our house? We're going to fix you dinner. I got a pie, and I just want you to come over to the house. If you needed a place to stay, we wouldn't try to find him in a hotel. We'd say, no, let me get some clean sheets. You can have my bed tonight. I want you to stay with me. And by the way, when you get up in the morning, I'll have your favorite breakfast prepared. What do you like? Scrambled eggs, bacon, sausage, toast? It'll be ready for you in the morning. And by the way, if you're going to be here tomorrow, I'd like to take you out and buy you a new suit and maybe a new pair of shoes. And we'd fight each other to do that, because we would want to express our love to our Savior in that way. Now, here's my point. And here's the point of my message, and I'm going to finish up in about 4 minutes. Yeah, we're waiting for God to do these things in our life to get to that time that he's appointed for them to end. And what he says to us, while you're waiting for me, I want you to wait on me. And you say, preacher, Jesus is not going to come in. I can't take him home for dinner. I can't give him my bed. I can't take him out and buy him. I can't make him a big breakfast. I can't buy him a suit. I mean, I can't do any of that. And yet Jesus said, oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. He said, for I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And you know the verse of scripture that I'm talking about. The disciples came back to him and said, Jesus, when were you sick and we visited you? When were you naked and we clothed you? When were you a stranger and we took you in? You were never in prison and we came and visited you. And Jesus said this, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. You've done it unto me. You want to know how to get through the suffering? I mean, it's going to end. God's already appointed a date, but you want to know how to get through the suffering? You want to know how to make it through the battles? I mean, those battles win. God's already got a day appointed that the battle will end. But you want to know how to make it through? You want to know how to make it through the chastisement that he puts his children through? You want to know how to make it through? Wait on him. Find somebody that needs something, and in Jesus' name, meet that need. Meet the need. There are people all around us that have something they need that we can provide. There are people all around us. I mean, some of them just need somebody to love on them. Somebody just to hold them by the hand or hug them and say, look, I know what you're going through. I'm praying for you. You're going to make it. They just need somebody that they can talk to. And yeah, it may be tough. We may be going through a tough time. It may be a time of suffering. It may be a time where we're having to fight the battle. It may be a time where, again, we're being punished because we're God's children and he loves us. But while we're waiting for him, let's wait on him. And I tell you what, the time will go so quick that the appointed time will come, that the suffering and the battles and the chastisement will end. And we'll say, one so bad. One so bad. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31, The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord, not wait for him, but wait on him, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So while we're waiting for God, let's wait on God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simple truths that are in this book. Thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you for telling us in the Bible how to live our life. Father, you know that everything we need is in this book, and I pray we'd stay in it. Thank you for the advice that you gave us tonight from these three prophets. Help us to remember that it will end. You have a time appointed for it to end, that we're not to play God, that we're just to patiently wait, but while we're waiting for you, we can wait on you. And I pray, Father, that we'd be on the lookout for people that are hurting. We'd be on the lookout for people that need, and we'd meet that need. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray you'd help them understand that they're a sinner. The punishment for that sin is to be separated from you forever. And I pray, Father, they would see the Savior that you sent to die for that sin. They would see in your only begotten Son, who you gave to us to go to the cross and to bear the punishment for every one of our sins. And if we'd just come and receive what Jesus did for us on Calvary, you'd forgive us our sins. You'd make us part of the family. You'd give us a home in heaven. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've been busy if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, and you've convicted them of their need for Jesus, and that right now, right where they sat, they would receive him. They would trust him. They would take him, the gift of salvation that you offer to every person. I pray, Father, if there's somebody like that here, that during this time of invitation that they would come and we could take the Bible, show them from the Bible what it is and how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.